This is Bookshelf Banter, where you'll get to meet new indie authors. Be sure to check them out. You just may discover your new favorite author. Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Bookshelf Banter. This week, I'm talking to author Jessica Nielsen, also known as JN Supermom. As a trained healthcare aide and mother of seven children who have a range of special needs, she creates her work from experiences and the world around her. Always excelling with the love of writing, she perceives the world in simplistic and unique ways and believes every person has something inspiring to share. You can also find her randomly writing on her blog and taking on a new project with a fellow mom to support others who support those with special needs. Jessica Nielsen, also known as JN Supermom, welcome to Bookshelf Banter. I can't speak today.
That's okay. It's Sunday. It's the day of rest, you know.
Oh, yeah. What day do you get to rest? You have a lot going on in your life with seven kids and a job and all that stuff, and, you know, volunteer work too, right?
Yeah. Never. Between seven kids and, well, I mean, they are getting older, so it's a bit easier. But five of them have been diagnosed with different disabilities. Oh, wow. So I have a lot of schedules. I really don't ever stop, unfortunately, but I love doing what I do. So,
yeah, how do you manage to fit the writing in with all these schedules?
I schedule it. It's literally the only way. I get up around 5 a.m.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I think the latest I've ever been able to sleep is 6 or 6:30. So I get up early. I typically do a bit of writing because that gives me an hour to 2 hours before I have to wake the kids for school. So I write on my phone in the mornings. And then because they are all in school, I do have a bit of time during the day. And then after school, yeah, not so much because they're all home and, it, you know, you got to make supper and put them to bed and showers and all of that. So I typically get up early and do my writing first thing in the mornings.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to get it out of the way first thing in the morning. But my brain is not turned on first thing in the morning. I can't. I have to have like rest before I actually have to do some work. What is their age range?
Yes. So my oldest is 19. He's actually a really good kid. He turned out okay, considering I had him when I was barely 19 myself. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. And then I have 17, 16, 2 13-year-olds, a 10-year-old, and 9.
Oh, wow. That's a fun range of ages, especially the 6-year-old boy.
It's a girl. She's actually a very amazing kid. She's really good. I've actually been extremely lucky with my children for the most part. I haven't had too many issues through the teenage years yet. But I still have, you know, four kids to go to get them all through it. So we'll see.
how do they inspire you?
They're actually the inspiration for pretty much everything that I write. My So You're Not Supermom books. I ended up injuring myself and having to have knee surgery back in 2018. And while I was laid up on the couch for 6 weeks on crutches and they were destroying my house, I needed a way to release the frustration of it all, because it was, and yeah, so that's how those were born and came about. And they, yeah, I think everything that I've written in some form comes from my kids and trials and tribulations that they've put me through.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I love the title of your books. You're not a super mom, and it's okay. Because, most of us never get that. We never get that peace, and we struggle for years to try to do that whole super mom thing. How did you come to the conclusion that that wasn't going to happen?
I think it kind of was a lot of things. So, like I said, five of my kids have been diagnosed with different disabilities, which is always a struggle. And then it really clicked in after my knee surgery in 2018, because I, even though I wanted to be able to get up and cook dinners and clean the house and do all these things, like driving them to their appointments, and I physically wasn't able to. And so I was extremely hard on myself for the first bit. And then I just kind of had to come to the realization that it's not always possible, and no parent is ever perfect.
So what advice would you have for somebody that's like kind of in that position right now where they're beating themselves up for not being perfect, not being able to do everything? What would you tell them, like, was kind of like a deciding thought in your head that was like, you know what, I'm gonna be okay with this, coming to peace with the fact that you can't be a super mom?
I think it really comes down to, let me think about that one for a sec. I guess there's a few factors in it, right? Like, people struggle all the time and they forget to reach out. Reaching out is one of the most important things you can ever do. Even if it's just somebody to talk to. I mean, obviously, they're not going to be able to fix all of the problems that come around or come and clean your house for you. But, just having someone to talk to who understands that nobody is perfect and sometimes things go sideways, that's a huge one. And then for me personally, I, having seven kids, I really just had to, I guess, in a way, kind of convince myself that it's okay that my floors are dirty constantly and that there's dishes in the kitchen constantly. Laundry will never be caught up and put away. And I'm really lucky. I have friends who are very understanding towards that. And when they come, I mean, obviously, I apologize. I'm like, yeah, leave your shoes on, step over the stuff that's there, whatever. And they're like, oh, I don't come here to visit your house. I come here to visit you. And so, yeah, having even just one person who understands your situation is probably the most important thing.
Yeah, that's really nice that you have friends like
Yeah, I'm very lucky.
mine are like, oh my God, there's so much dog hair all over me. What, can you please vacuum this couch before I sit down on
Oh man.
it?
Yeah, no. No, I'm very lucky.
Yeah, no, that is, and it's also what you said before about asking people, and even if it's just to like talk to them and just vent to them, is really helpful, but
Yeah.
asking for help is like the hardest thing, and I cannot for the life of me do it until I get to a point of like almost a nervous breakdown, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. And so many people are like that, and that's one of the reasons I wrote my books, is because and I hear it all the time. I mean, other than the fact that people who don't have kids who have read them find them really good birth control.
That's great. Or set up a video camera in your house and be right. Like, you know what? Here you go.
Yeah.
Play in the Planned Parenthood, lobbies or something like that.
Exactly. Reaching out, absolutely. It is the hardest thing you will ever do. But at the same time, if and when you're able to do it, you're going to realize that there are so many parents who struggle on a basis with the exact same guilt.
Oh, mom guilt. Oh, this is yeah. The worst.
Yeah.
It really is, because, you know, even when you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing, you're like, I should be doing it differently. I'm not doing this right. And it's so, okay, for an example, my daughter does dance, and I laid it out for everyone. I hate dance. I cannot stand it. I am not a dance mom, but she loves it.
Yeah.
So we go ahead and we do these dance competitions, and I hate every last minute of it. But we go, and I go, and we do everything that we're supposed to do, and we sit there and we clap and we applaud and we tell her she did great.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have that mom guilt that I'm supposed to love this, and I don't.
Yeah.
You know, and it's made doubly hard by the fact that like my son played baseball, and I loved that. I loved every minute of that, you know. So I feel almost like I'm shortchanging her.
Yeah.
And it's terrible. It, I'm not, because I'm there. She's doing it. We do other things together that, you know, she knows I like to do. But it's still, you can't stop thinking, oh, I should just put on my happy face and pretend I love this. But I can't do it, because if I'm anything, it's honest. And that's it, you know?
Oh, I hear you. Yeah, I'm probably, one of the most honest parents you'll ever meet. I don't sugarcoat a single thing. If you read my books, you'll know.
there was no sugarcoating there.
No.
Sugar with a sprinkle of cyanide there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's and I feel the same, and I do the same thing. And I, on one hand, I feel like, oh God, I should just suck it up and put on that June Cleaver face, but that's not me. And they know that's not me. So, you know, I think in the long run, it's better, because, you know, if I turn around and tell them, you did a great job at that, I'm really proud of you, it's honest, and they know I'm not, you know, just giving them that atta girl or whatever, you know.
And they're not going to remember the fact that you hated dance. They're going to remember the fact that you went and you supported them, because it was something they loved and wanted to do. And you were there, right? So
I said, I'm going to make one of those shirts, because, you know, the moms are walking around with their dance mom shirts, and dance dad shirts. And this, my dancer called me mom, and blah, 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 blah. I'm going to get hashtag not a dance mom.
She's like,
don't you dare. Because, you know, she's 16 and everything embarrasses her, including her dance mom.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Well, I mean, and the asking for help thing too is a lot of times you have to admit that you can't function. This year was I had to actually admit that I was not going to be able to get through the day without some sort of chemical help anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and I was always, no, I'm never taking anything. The title of my memoir was going to be, I can't believe I'm not medicated. So I guess I have to change my memoir title now, or stop taking it during the time I'm writing the book. But, you know, I got to a point where I was like, you know what, this isn't happening anymore. I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. And that was a very hard thing to do, to go and say, listen, I need something to help. And I regret not doing it sooner. You know, I'm not a big proponent of medication unless it's absolutely necessary.
For sure.
This was necessary.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that one. It was, my daughter is 13 now, and she was a terrible baby, terrible. Love her to death. But there was times where it was like 72 hours straight sleeping in a chair, sitting up, and she would just cry the whole time. And I ended up with postpartum anxiety. And it took me, you know, I tried to do it without medication, and it took me a few months to realize that I couldn't do it. I couldn't without medication. And so I definitely understand that one. It's a hard choice to make, especially if you're apprehensive about the chemical plays with your body, for sure. But yeah, sometimes you know, there's no shame in needing that help though.
Yeah, I mean, I got to the point where my blood pressure was like stroke level. And then I was like, there's something's got to give. And I think a lot of people like don't, I think people sometimes take it too soon, but there's a lot of people that are not taking it that really should be taking something to just kick the edge off, you know, because and it's funny because I said to my husband the other day, I said, it's almost like being the only sober person in the room. You get to see how angry everybody else is now.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm happy-go-lucky now. I was slamming, ready to like slam back into cars a couple months ago, but oh gosh. So tell me about your parents' resource and connection group. How did that get started?
So that one, you know, has lately been my main focus. Back in November, my youngest boy, his medication that he was on got to a point where he became very unhealthy being on it. Unfortunately, he cannot function without a type of medication. So I had to make the choice to quit my job that I had and be home with him to take him off his medication and kind of reintegrate a new medication and get some weight back on him. It was really bad because it was starting to stunt his growth, his weight loss and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So when that happened, I needed a really good way to communicate with his school. I mean, I have really good relationships with his school over the years. I've always been very open with them and, you know, what's been going on with him, etc. But I needed a way to be able to communicate, you know, his medications, his moods, habits that he's kind of grown being off of medication, all of the things that they need to know to be able to support him in the school system as well. And typically I would just send emails, but you know, then you get like 50 to 100 emails and it just becomes too much and you can't track it. So I had approached a girlfriend of mine. We've been friends since college, and I was like, hey, what do you think about creating a book to be able to better communicate with the schools about medication changes and all this other stuff? And she's like, oh, she's like, that's a really good idea, but how about our first book is an overview of what it's like to organize the chaos of a diagnosis? I was like, okay. So we wrote this book. It's called Parent Survival Guide, Keeping Your Shite Together, a workbook to help organize the chaos of a diagnosis. And it spiraled into its own roadway through all of the resource centers in our area and the education system and just parents who have children with diagnoses. And so now we were like, okay, what do we do with it? Because it's going so well. So we created this group, and then the group is turning into a society. And it's just like, so now we're coaching parents one-on-one to help them get resources and organize themselves to be able to track, you know, like workers, talking to the schools, whatever it is that they need help with, or even if they just need to chat, they reach out to us. And so we just kind of, yeah, it just kind of took its own path. And it's, we're right now, we're trying to keep up with the path that it's taking, but it's really great.
Oh, wow. I love that for, I love that for two reasons. The first reason is I'm a school nurse, so I can definitely relate to how difficult it is to communicate what's going on, medication changes, stuff like that. You know, and believe it or not, a lot of parents don't think it's important to tell the schools
exactly
about medication changes. And you're like, yeah, I just recently had a situation where like the kid was off his medicine and he was off the wall, and we were like, what's going on? And you know, we had to, you know, talk to the parents and all that stuff. So it is great that you're doing that. I love that. The second reason is actually more of a personal reason. My sister went through something with my nephew. She has been going through probably, I want to say it's almost been 4 years. He was diagnosed with PANDAS. So no one knows how to treat that. And it's been 4 years of her trying to get, you know, a definitive diagnosis and mm-hmm. get him on some sort of regimen. And, you know, groups like this are just like really helpful for yeah. parents that don't have, you know, I have a medical background and I didn't know where to tell her to go, mm-hmm. you know? So I think it's really helpful for people to be able to reach out to someone who's been there and knows what the next step would be or what the next step should be. You know, what you should be doing.
Yeah. So. And it's helpful too, coming from a parent's perspective, right? Because we do understand how frustrating it can be.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, our first book has done extremely well. We are working on book number two, which is the original book I wanted to create to communicate with schools. And that's awesome. And then we have a few other ones in the works as well. Yeah, and we've, you know, we've done news articles and podcasts, and we've teamed up with a nonprofit foundation down in the US and did some webinars, how to be your best advocate. And yeah, it's just been crazy in a good way, but crazy.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's amazing what you're doing. It's very helpful. And I think that it's really important work. I don't know if people understand how important it is, even if your kid doesn't have, you know, a medical diagnosis or something, you know, just getting that communication with parents to find out if there's something wrong.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And yeah, so our first book actually starts out on what to collect and how to approach your healthcare providers and stuff. Right. And it starts there and it goes all the way through to hiring people and creating wills and everything. So it's a really nice overview of without overwhelming people. And even if you work with kids who have disabilities, it's great too. Like I'm a certified healthcare aide and I've used the book for a couple of clients. So
oh, that's a job too. I did that in nursing school, but God bless you. that's a hard one.
Yeah, it's not for everybody, that's for sure.
I did it for 3 or 4 years. It was rewarding too.
Oh,
I think almost on some ways it was almost more rewarding than nursing. But it was hard. It was definitely there was definitely a lot of tears. I had like elderly patients, so
yeah, I've done dementia, long-term care. Right now I've done like home care as well. I've done cerebral palsy, kids with ADHD. I do right now I have a client who's a quadriplegic that I do a couple of times a week. I had to really cut back on my work hours just because of my son, but
yeah,
I love it. It's definitely a rewarding job, but definitely not for everybody.
I agree. So do you have any time to just relax and read?
So I actually, in order for me to make it through a day, because I get up so early and then I'm up so late, mm-hmm. I have a set nap time. And I know that sounds weird because
I love it.
I'm 38 years old. I still have nap time too. But my nap time is like, it's my downtime. So when the kids are in school, not so much Friday, Saturday, Sunday, unless my husband is home. Mm-hmm. But from 1 till 3, I lay down either on the couch or in bed and do absolutely nothing. And that's literally the only way I can make it through a day.
I love it. I come home on my lunch and I nap for 20 minutes and everyone makes fun of me. And I come back to work and they're like, did you have your nap today? And I'm like, yes, I did. And I napped for 20 minutes and I feel great now. So leave me alone.
Right? Like, it doesn't even have to be for very long. I don't think I actually sleep the 2 hours, but just to like stop, right? And actually take a few deep breaths and just nothing. You shut your brain off and you just, it's great.
And even for like 20 minutes, a lot of times I wake up and I don't know what day it is. I'm like, oh my God, I must've been out for hours. And it's just like 15, 20 minutes. And I'm like, oh my God, I slept through, you know, my going back to work and I didn't. It is great. I don't think I could take a 2 hour nap. There's no, you know, even if I would probably wake up and think it was like 6 years from now. That would be
wrong.
I don't
usually, but there are some days where I definitely take the full 2.
Oh.
It goes off and I'm like, no, I don't want to.
I don't want to get on with the rest of my day.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, where can we find you? Like social media wise and websites and everything?
Everywhere. Literally everywhere. If you're looking for JN Supermom, Google JN Supermom. I'm the only one that there is. You'll find me. If you're looking for parent survival resource and connection, our website is www.parentsurvival.ca. And we have our Facebook, Twitter. Well, we have everything there too. So, but everything is connected through the website. So that's probably the easiest. Right now, my JN Supermom website, I honestly haven't had time to keep up with it. So it's kind of I'm on hiatus on that one right now with everything else that's going on. But yeah, if you just Google me, you'll find me for sure.
And did I see that you had a podcast or am I wrong?
It's in the works. So
okay.
Yeah, we have a lot in the works. We've got, well, for the nonprofit, we're doing a series of advocating, you know, between doctors and schools and speaking to family members, everything like that. We've got podcasts in the work. We have workshops in the work that will be available online and in person. So many things. I actually had to create spreadsheets because I can't track it all.
Oh wow. You're very, very busy. I don't know how you do it. I honestly, even with the schedule, I would probably be throwing my hands up in the air.
One day at a time. That's what I always tell people. One day at a time.
That is definitely true. Oh my goodness. Well, I loved talking to you. It was wonderful talking to you. When you guys publish the next series of books, I'd love to talk to you both, maybe.
Yeah, for sure.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. We can definitely set that up.
week's episode of Bookshelf Banter with author J.N. Supermom. Join me in 2 weeks when I have my last episode of season 2. It's a good one. Until then, have a great week.